The content of this program is intended for people who are blind and print impaired. Hello, this is Jean Latchoff from the Triangle Radio Reading Service. For the next half hour, I'll be reading to you from various ladies' magazines. Let's jump right in with this little relaxer from Real Simple. There is a way to take a quick, luxurious breather at any time during your day. Notice how your body is breathing by itself right now. No matter how stressed you get or how tight your chest feels, your breath is always there. Observe the breath. How does it feel? Deep? Shallow? Easy? High in your chest? Low in your chest? Fast? Slow? Get to know it for a moment without judgment. Now, find the place where the movement of your breath originates, where you feel it the most. This is where the inhale arises and expands from, and where the exhale falls and empties back into. It doesn't matter where it is. Once you find it, place your hand there. Feel it from the inside and imagine you have a big comfy chair right there in the middle of it. Sit, sink in, and rest there. The source of the movement within you. And feel rejuvenated. And that was by Margaret Townsend, thelivingbreath.com. Next from Redbook, Body and Mind, be smart about your body. In plenty of ways, women are tougher than men. Science tells us we may more easily fight off the flu, and of course there's the pregnancy thing. But there are also health issues that are harder on the female form. Every woman should know what those are. Here's how you can protect yourself and stay strong for life. What's your trouble spot? Well, first of all, there's the back. Pain here affects women at a greater rate than it does men. It's not just that we're constantly lifting babies, laptops, and groceries. After all, guys do that too. Or that we carry two things men don't, pregnant bellies and breasts. It's that our bone strength peaks earlier, around age 30, putting us at a higher risk for osteoporosis, compression fractures, and more, explains Kimberly Sackheim, DO, Clinical Assistant Director of Rehabilitation Medicine at NYU Langone's Rusk Rehabilitation. You can help shore up your bones at any age by eating a calcium-rich diet, and doing weight-bearing exercise such as running and dancing, which forces the bones to repair themselves, making them stronger. With rest, back pain should get better in 6 weeks. But if yours lasts longer or you develop weakness, numbness, or tingling, or have trouble controlling your bowels or bladder, which could be a sign of a nerve compression, check with a doctor. Thyroid. Women are up to 8 times more likely than men to have thyroid problems. Your thyroid produces 2 hormones that together control a wide array of things that can make you feel A-OK or totally rotten. If it either trickles to a halt or goes into overdrive, you might feel cold or overheated, be constipated or have diarrhea, feel listless or be anxious. Fortunately, the treatments replacing the hormones you're missing with synthetic ones, or tamping down overproduction with medication, or in some cases surgery, are usually effective, says Antonio Bianco, MD, PhD, a professor of medicine at Rush University Medical Center in Chicago. Ask your doctor for a simple blood test. Heart. Though men develop heart disease just as frequently, women's cases are often more complicated. In women, heart disease tends to be more diffuse, occurring throughout the arteries rather than in one spot, making it more of a challenge to fix, says cardiologist Suzanne Steinbaum, DO, spokeswoman for the American Heart Association's Go Red for Women. Catching heart disease before it lands you in the ER is crucial. Have your doctor check your blood pressure, cholesterol levels, blood sugar, BMI, and waist circumference annually, and go over your family history of heart disease. Wrist. Women are 3 times more likely to develop carpal tunnel syndrome simply because of the way we're built. The median nerve runs from the forearm to the palm of your hand, passing through a tunnel of ligaments and bones. A slender wrist can allow it to become compressed more easily, causing numbness, itchiness, or pain in your thumb, or your pointer and middle fingers, and down your arm. Eventually, it may be difficult to text or grip a pen. To help your wrist heal faster, try to avoid repetitive movements like scrubbing the tub. Let someone else take a turn. You can also ease the pain with ibuprofen or topical gels and patches and a simple wrist brace from your local drugstore. Wear the brace while you're sleeping and when you're being very active, Sackheim says. Belly. Irritable bowel syndrome is a mysterious disease. Experts aren't sure what causes it or why twice as many women as men are diagnosed with it. Though there are a few theories, says Alana Mazur, MD, director of the Mount Sinai Women's Gastrointestinal Center in New York City. IBS in women is likely a nerve issue, much like migraines or fibromyalgia, she explains, and bouts might also be driven by hormones during your period or pregnancy. If you've had cramps, along with constipation or diarrhea, or you hit the IBS jackpot and have both, for at least 3 months, you should seek help. A doctor can help you identify your triggers and prescribe medications to ease the symptoms. And knees. You don't have to be doing any crazy marathon training to be more prone to knee injury than a guy. You can thank the estrogen-fueled laxity in our joints and our wider-set hips, which create a sharp angle where the leg bones meet. The first step to saving your knees is simple. If you're doing an exercise that hurts your knees, don't do it, Sackheim says. Squats got it. Your next move is to strengthen your quads and your hamstrings. They'll support your leg so you don't put as much pressure on your knee. And from Real Simple, the Now What column, smart fixes for life's little disasters. Here's a disaster. I have a foot cramp. The fix? If you're lying down or sitting, stand up. Putting pressure on the cramp will stop the muscle spasm, says James R. Christina, DPM, Executive Director of the American Podiatric Medical Association. If you're standing, walk around to stretch out your lower calves. If walking doesn't help, lie on the floor, roll up a towel, or grab a yoga strap and place it under the ball of your foot. Pull your toes toward you, keeping your knee as straight as you can for a deep stretch. Almost 90% of foot cramps are due to muscle fatigue, says Christina, so always stretch your lower body after exercise. And the next one, or last one actually, there are gnats swarming around my indoor plant. The fix? Ease up on watering and move the plant to a sunny spot in your home where the soil can dry out. Often gnats appear when soil has been wet for too long, so also make sure your plant has good drainage. Gnats have no affinity for plants, just fungi and moisture, says Christopher Satch, an in-house plant scientist at The Sill, a garden center in New York City. Gnats are mostly just annoying, but a swarm of them may indicate larvae, which can damage the roots and harm a young plant. If drying out the soil doesn't help, Satch recommends adding diatomaceous earth, a natural, non-toxic, talc-like insecticide made from plankton fossils. Try diatomaceous earth food grade powder, $11 for 2 pounds, from Chewy.com. Work it into the top inch of your soil, then sprinkle some more on the surface. Next, from Good Housekeeping, it's kitten season. Shelters see a surge of adorable additions when the weather warms. Here's why it's prime time for kitties and what to know before you adopt. Cuteness overload. Cats are amazingly adaptive to the environment and breed when the chances of survival for their offspring are greatest, says Gail Buchwald, Senior VP of the ASPCA Adoption Center. This means a female feline's ovulation is triggered in March or April when the weather starts to warm up, and tapers off in September or October when the days become shorter and colder. Because a mom cat, called a queen, can breed 2 or 3 times per year with an average litter of 5 kittens, the kitty population can very quickly swell. You'll have the proverbial pick of the litter right now, says Buchwald. You'll be freeing up space for other rescue cats. Visit ASPCA.org to browse pets near you. But know that what you're signing up for, taking home a kitten, is kind of like having a toddler, says Buchwald. They're very cute. However, they have a lot of energy and can make a mess. Be prepared to kitten-proof at home. Remove stray wires and fill crevices kittens could crawl into, and provide lots of supervision and socialization. The cuddles will make it all worth it. And help the cat community. The breeding season offers another all-important reminder to spay and neuter. Reach out to a local shelter to ask about trap-neuter return programs for feral cats in your area. If you come across a litter of strays near your home, watch and wait. While abandoned or orphan kittens can be bottle-fed, those with mom around are better off being nursed their first few weeks of life. She can take care of her kittens best, says Buchwald. So before getting help for the group, make sure the mother isn't simply lurking nearby, waiting for the coast to be clear. From Real Simple, it's the Modern Manners column. Their etiquette expert, Catherine Newman, offers her best advice on your social quandaries. JW asks, my husband and I live in a close-knit, active adult community. One couple invites about 200 neighbors to an open house each year via email, and we have attended every year. I heard the invites were out this year, but none showed up in our inbox. It's very doubtful that we weren't invited. How do we proceed? Answer, unless you drunkenly barfed into their begonias last year, I would assume they meant to invite you. Maybe they had an email glitch, or you did. You've checked your spam folder, right? Send a delicate inquiry. We don't seem to have received an open house invitation this year. We're assuming you decided to host a smaller gathering, which we understand completely. We would just hate to miss it if that wasn't your intention. And give your email a self-ironic subject line like awkwardness alert. You'll hear back that of course they meant to invite you, or they'll confirm that they've shrunk the invite list. These are both outcomes you can live with, but more readily than not knowing. But also, again, check that spam folder. MT asks, I don't like seafood at all. I have tried over the years to learn to like it, but I simply don't. My husband and I are planning a visit with my brother-in-law, who, despite knowing about my dislike for fish, puts it in every dish. He'll even add anchovies or fish sauce to a non-fish meal because he says it adds umami. My husband and I agree he does this out of spite. Is it okay to bring my own food so that I have something to eat, or do I have to live on side dishes for 4 days? Umami trumps all. Oh, wait, no. Graciousness does. Your brother-in-law is being a terrible host. As a lover myself of those ineffable, salty, lip-smacking flavors, I say introduce him to sea-free alternatives, such as miso, marmite, and parmesan, to name just a few, or ask him to hold a portion back before fishing it all up. Failing that, bring your own food, and try clearing the air because something seems seriously amiss in your relationship. MF asks, when my kids are playing outside, our neighbor's 9-year-old often comes to our yard to play. He's a sweet boy, but honestly, his presence is annoying, and he never asks if he can play, and his parents are never nearby. Are we obligated to include him, or is there a way to ask for our family space? This is tricky. I always want to be a force of good in a child's life and a model for my family that we don't exclude the lonely from our resources of time and company. But I also want my own children to learn healthy boundaries. In our neighborhood, playing in the front yard pretty much constitutes an open invitation, but this is not true of the back. We're happy to have your company when we're out front, you could say to your young neighbor, but when we're in the back, that means it's family time. If you get an opportunity to talk to the parents, you could try saying something gentle. Oh, your son is so sweet, but his visits are a little tricky because we've been trying to spend more time together just as a family. Do you have any advice for us? One small wait for it consolation. The kids will all change, and so will this particular issue. And last, A.E. asks, my sister is so sensitive that she's offended by nearly everything. Being around her is to constantly walk on eggshells. It's exhausting. But no one in my family wants to confront her about it because she will undoubtedly become offended. Do we say something anyway or just stay uncomfortable around her? I worry that what seems to the family like your sister's cranky mood is actually something bigger. Depression, maybe, or a major difference that's isolating her and she doesn't feel comfortable sharing her feelings about. She's broke and the rest of you aren't. She's childless and doesn't want to be. Maybe she feels like nobody cares. Rather than framing it as a confrontation, can you muster your compassion when you talk to her? Don't speak for the family, since that could make her feel ganged up on. Simply ask, can you tell me what's going on? I'm worried that you're unhappy when we're together, and I'm not sure I understand why, but I want to. And then listen. It can be so hard to remember, but however tiresome it is to spend time with an unfun person, it's a lot more difficult to be that person. In the Venn diagram of your lives, you overlap a little with her difficult circle whenever you see her. She's the whole circle all the time. See if you can help. From Redbook, a couple of little tippies here. Save the planet and money. Did your composting phase last as long as your choker phase? This Earth Day, start a green habit you'll stick with using a why didn't I think of that tip from Chef Top Chef winner Stephanie Izzard, who's on a mission with Morton Salt, to erase food waste by changing how we shop. Get fruit at various stages of ripeness, so some can be eaten right away, and less ripe pieces will be perfect and not rotten later in the week, Izzard says. TV homecomings. Leading ladies you already love. Katie Couric, the renowned journalist, ditches the perfectly coiffed anchorwoman vibe as she seeks the truth behind the country's most polarizing issues in National Geographic's America Inside Out with Katie Couric, which began April 11th. Tiffany Thiessen, the most popular student of the 90s, takes on mom duty in the Netflix sitcom Alexa and Katie, which began March 23rd. It follows Thiessen's character's daughter, recently diagnosed with cancer, and her bestie through high school. And Sandra Oh, she's back as the same type of brainy, career-driven woman you loved on Grey's Anatomy. But instead of chasing medical breakthroughs, she's hunting a psychopathic assassin in BBC America's Killing Eve, which came out April 8th. From Redbook, three new ways to help kids with autism. With one out of 68 kids diagnosed with autism spectrum disorder, you most likely know family or are a family affected by it. Here's how to brighten those lives. The transition from high school to college or the working world can be tough for teens with the autism spectrum disorder. It can feel impossible. Two-thirds have no education plan or job lined up when they age out of the school system. Kyle Purpura, who has Asperger's syndrome, didn't suffer that fate thanks to the job he started soon after graduation last year, a farm less ordinary. Kyle was proud of the work he did, and that increased his confidence, says his mom, Dana. For farm co-founder Maya Weschler, seeing kids flourish is the goal. Maya's 10-year-old son, Max, is on the low-functioning end of the spectrum. She learned early on how bleak the future prospects were and came up with a plan to change them. We just wanted space for our son to be safe and weird. They form a community for Max and each other, revel in therapeutic rhythms and chores of farm life, says Maya. Feel like part of the family. Find out how to donate and what it takes to start a similar project at afarmlessordinary.org. At the free skateboarding clinics that Chris Worley, 35, organizes, autistic children zoom down ramps guided by volunteer instructors. Many are laughing or speaking a few words, and for Chris, those moments are victories. They bring her back to when her 15-year-old son, Sasha, started skateboarding at age 5. The motion acted like occupational therapy, alleviating his anxiety. When Chris saw the same effect on friends' kids, she founded A.Skate, which gives lessons and equipment grants to thousands of kids each year. Jessica Silva, whose son Connor participates near Los Angeles, says skateboarding has changed everything for my family. My daughters are athletes, so we'd go cheer them on at games, but there was never a chance to do that for him. Now when there's an A Skate event, we get all excited that it's Connor's day. Sign your child up or get info on volunteering at askate.org. and support life-saving training. The policeman who approached Stephanie Cooper's 10-year-old autistic son, David, while he was having a meltdown, screaming and hitting himself, took the behavior in stride. But as a former officer, Stephanie knew not all would. During a meltdown, David's mind is like a computer crashing, she says. If an officer understands he's not just ignoring direction, that can ensure his safety. At sessions of Stephanie's Autism Law Reinforcement Response Training, also called ALERT, they learn that menacing-seeming behaviors like not talking or not making eye contact could be signs of autism. The message I get across is, yes, they're going to sometimes act aggressively, but don't take these actions as reasons for increased force. Find out how to bring ALERT education to your community at autismresponsetraining.org. And now, time for a couple of recipes. I've got a 20-minute meal called Vietnamese caramel pork with pickled carrot salad. And this is from Good Housekeeping. Prep time's 15 minutes, total time 35. Using a vegetable peeler, shave 2 large carrots into long ribbons. Toss with 1 small red chili, thinly sliced, 1/4 cup rice vinegar, and 1 teaspoon brown sugar. Then season with salt. Let sit, tossing occasionally 20 minutes. Drain and fold in 1/4 cup chopped fresh mint. Meanwhile, whisk together 1/2 cup low-sodium chicken broth, 1/4 cup brown sugar, and 1 tablespoon fish sauce. Season 1-pound pork tenderloin, cut into 1.5-inch chunks, with salt and pepper. Brown the pork on all sides in a large skillet in 1 tablespoon canola oil on high and transfer to a plate. Add broth mixture and simmer until slightly thickened, 2 to 3 minutes. Toss with the pork to coat and cook 1 minute. Serve pork with pickled carrots and cooked white rice, and that serves 4. Also from the Good Housekeeping Test Kitchen, how can I fill deviled eggs without making a mess? All you need is a resealable plastic bag. Place 1 corner of the bag in a tall glass and fold the open sides down over the rim. Scoop the filling into the bag, remove from the glass, and twist just above where the filling is. Make an 1/8 inch snip at 1 corner, or, for a fancier rosette design, snip off the end and cut out 2 tiny triangles. Gently squeeze the filling in a circular pattern to stuff the eggs, bringing them to a party. Transport the whites and filling separately, then finish them up once you arrive. And another question, sometimes the chicken meat near the bone is red even though it's cooked. What gives? This is a natural and harmless condition that occurs primarily with younger chickens when some of the marrow seeps through the porous bones and the pigment from the marrow adheres to the meat nearby. The color darkens during freezing and even more when the meat is cooked. It's 100% safe to eat, but feel free to cut it away. Feel like chicken tonight? Try our lemony roast chicken at goodhousekeeping.com/roastchicken. And if you bought a bunch of tarragon or mint or basil for a recipe that calls for only a tablespoon or two, use what's left over to make a tasty, simple syrup, perfect for flavoring iced tea, lemonade, or seltzer. Combine 1 cup sugar and 1 cup water in a saucepan. Add the herb, heat to boiling, simmer 2 minutes, then cool. Strain into a bottle and refrigerate for up to 2 weeks. And a 5-ingredient or less recipe, sheet pan chickpea chicken. And I must say, it looks quite delicious. Prep time's only 5 minutes, total time 35. So, first of all, heat your oven to 425. On a large rimmed baking sheet, place 1 15.5-ounce can of chickpeas, which have been rinsed. Then, toss with 1 pound mini sweet peppers, 1 tablespoon olive oil, and 1/4 teaspoon each salt and pepper. In a small bowl, whisk together 2 tablespoons harissa and 1 tablespoon olive oil. Rub that sauce over 4 small chicken legs. Nestle among the veggies, roast until chicken is cooked through 20 to 25 minutes, and then top with fresh cilantro just before serving. No sad salads, soggy sandwiches, or microwave leftovers here. We've got some super easy, totally delicious lunches, plus smart ways to pack them up. Eating at your desk, that can be a good thing. First, soba salad with chicken, active and total time 20 minutes. 8 ounces soba noodles, 1 cup frozen shelled edamame, 1/2 pound red cabbage, 2 cups shredded cooked white meat chicken, 3 scallions thinly sliced, 1/2 pound carrots cut into 1/2 inch pieces, 2 tablespoons finely grated ginger, 1/4 cup rice vinegar, 1 tablespoon low sodium soy sauce, 2 teaspoons brown sugar, 1/4 cup canola oil, and toasted sesame seeds for serving. Cook noodles per package directions, adding edamame during the last minute of cooking. Drain. Run under cold water to cool. Divide among 4 airtight containers, pushing to one side. Meanwhile, in a food processor, fitted with a thin slicing disc, slice the cabbage and transfer to a large bowl. Toss with chicken and 1 tablespoon scallions. Divide among the containers with soba on the empty side. Wipe out food processor and put in the standard blade. Add carrots, ginger, vinegar, soy sauce, and sugar, and finally chop. With the processor running, slowly add canola oil until fully incorporated. Divide among 4 small airtight containers and refrigerate along with soba for up to 3 days. When ready to eat, toss the salad with the dressing and sprinkle with scallions and sesame seeds. That serves 4. Rainbow veggie wraps with green tahini sauce. Active in total, 20 minutes. 1 cup flat leaf parsley. 1 cup fresh mint. 1 cup tahini. 1/2 cup fresh lemon juice. Kosher salt. 2 small carrots coarsely grated, about 2 cups. 1 seedless cucumber thinly sliced. 1 ripe avocado thinly sliced. 1 cup alfalfa sprouts. 1/2 cup red cabbage cored and finely shredded, 4 cups, and 4 10-inch tortillas. In a blender, puree the parsley, tahini, lemon juice, 1/2 cup water, and pinch of salt until smooth, adding more water if necessary. Divide carrots, cucumber, avocado, sprouts, and cabbage among tortillas, roll up tightly, and wrap in wax paper. Transfer sauce to an airtight container and refrigerate both up to 1 day. Serve wraps whole or cut in rounds with tahini sauce. And assemble any sandwich like this. Place the crunchiest or sturdiest ingredients, like carrots or cold cuts, on the outside, closest to the bread, to keep wetter ingredients, like tomatoes or pickles, from making your sammy soggy. You should also keep slippery condiments off your bread. Spreading your mayo in between your proteins helps keep everything from sliding off when you take a bite. How to deep clean your dish towels. This is a real simple hack. Towels like sponges often harbor microorganisms. To avoid cross-contamination and help keep bacteria at bay, reserve 1 towel for wiping the counter and 1 for drying your hands. And wash your hands often. Dry towels completely between uses. Wash towels every 2 or 3 days in hot water. And avoid fabric softener, which reduces absorbency. Soak extra stinky towels in equal parts distilled white vinegar and water before washing. We've run out of time for today's episode of Ladies Magazines. Be sure to listen next time. We hope you've enjoyed it. I'm Jean Latshaw, reading for the Triangle Radio Reading Service. This broadcast is readily available as a podcast after the broadcast at our website, triangleReadingService.org. Until next time, if you have comments or questions, give us a call.